Welcome back to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're putting a bow on season 3 and looking back at the epic highs and lows of high school football and Riverdale. It's all the same thing. I'm your host, AV Club executive producer Mara Eakin, and I'm joined as always by a Cameron Sheets.
I'm the Luigi.
Hi.
Wow, it's been a minute. It seems like forever ago, but also not that long ago.
I know. I think it's because of like Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
It's also, how to put this, living in LA, with TV shows ending in May, I'm like watching TV shows and being like, oh shit, is this the finale?
Yeah. It's
like with shows like Grey's Anatomy or something where I'm just like, oh, this isn't going to be on for a while. It's strange.
Definitely. I feel like I think a lot of people relate to this that are really into pop culture. Like growing up, I like got Entertainment Weekly and I would read like Michael Osceola stuff. Oh yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of that content around that time was still really built around the season and like sweeps. Mm-hmm. And they would have like the scorecard. It's like, who's going to die in sweeps and it's like, what show has
and
this happening?
And you have like all the dates and I would like make notes on my calendar, like X-Files is back August 10th or, you know, whatever it would be.
Right. And but now a lot of that's changed with streaming, and also we're here in LA where we don't have this change of the seasons like we were used to in the Midwest, and so I'm like, oh yeah, the shows are over and now they're taking a break for the summer.
It seems like it's kind of cold in Chicago right now, so
sorry guys, we're sorry.
Yeah,
it's not our fault, but we're sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if it seems like summer there.
I don't know. So, I mean, essentially, we wanted to kind of come back at the end of the season a little bit after because it's kind of fun to take a look at things a little bit removed.
Yeah, have some distance.
And there was, I mean, we'll just say it here. There was a point in time where we thought we were going to get to talk to Chad Michael Murray, which, like, I know. And so we were kind of vaguely hinting at that. Did not happen. Busy guy. Understandable. Maybe we'll talk to him sooner or later. But instead, we will be talking to another guest later in the show.
And obviously, if we ever get, you know, Nana Rose.
Yeah, you'll know.
The big guest. Woo.
That's like,
we should really try.
I think we've said that before, but that is like the minute we get Nana Rose on the podcast, I'm done. We don't need to do anymore. No. But we do have a special guest that we kind of hinted at before. She's kind of been a part of the show in her own way for a little while.
She's a part of some of our lives.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for now, I wanted to start off with an ice puncher, as we always do. But this also kind of ties into the first discussion I want to have. But my ice puncher question I had was, if you were in the writer's room, what's one plot line you would pitch for season 4?
Unlike all of our listeners, apparently, I'm a veggie person.
Yeah, we did poll.
We did do a poll, and I personally, I know this may not be popular, would want for Varchi to fall apart, just in the sense of like, where she's just like, is this really what I want?
Hot take.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, for
we're
sure.
Just like, we're young, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I would love... I mean, I guess they both have kind of taken time to explore their options, but I have come to like Reggie and Veggie a lot too, so I don't disagree. Mine?
Also, apparently they're going to college, so
yeah,
let's mix some shit up.
Of course, that's true. They're looking towards the future. Mine is maybe a little more insane, but I still am going to write a handwritten letter and address it to Roberto and be like, consider. We saw Cheryl with like weird mummy Jason Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And I want her to like go all out on like mad scientist, try and Frankenstein and bring him back to life.
That's a good idea.
But he's, I guess this kind of becomes
maybe
part of the
farm.
Maybe
she could like clone him.
Well, that could be good. I would like that. But I also like the idea of her being like, okay, he's almost there, but I really need a few more body parts to like organs and things to complete the Frankenstein process. And then I'll bring him back to life. So I want Cheryl leading a team of pretty poisons, like basically like hunting down bad guys and then using their organs for Jason.
Sure. Why not?
I think the show
should go there.
We've
seen weirder things.
We have. We really have. I mean, we've seen organ harvesting already, but...
I would like to also pitch a exploration of where the other two pussycats are.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd be really great if they showed back up and they're like, we're here for rehearsal. And everyone's like, Josie skipped town. And they're like, what?
We didn't even miss you guys.
We haven't heard from her. Yeah, Melody and Val. They're somewhere. They're somewhere out there.
They're probably literally in LA somewhere.
I mean, true. Can I see them from the window? I still follow them on social media, and like they still seem to be pretty supportive of the show. So
that's
I'm
good.
Sure it was just a very business decision to like not have them come around. Mm-hmm. They also had shared a lot of great stories about Luke Perry, and so they're active. They're out there.
But deep sigh for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think because my brain likes to categorize things and whatnot, I was like, how do we want to take a look back at the season? So I was like, superlatives? And
that's,
I don't
very
know
high
if
school.
That, yeah, it kind of fits with the theme. These aren't all superlatives necessarily, but I kind of wanted to throw some topics out there and mm-hmm. have us discuss. First one, and this is less of a superlative and more just like, okay, a few weeks removed. How do we feel as a whole about season 3? Do you think this was a step up from what we've seen previously? Do you think this was a
turn
in a new
direction? I liked
it
better than season 2. Yeah. Let me say that. And I've heard some of the Riverdale like viewers, fans mm-hmm. say that both like in real life and sort of on social media that it is wilder, I think.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't get bogged down as much and it's crazier and the storylines are more compelling.
Mm-hmm. There was less, there were times when, I feel like I rag on this a lot, but there were times when Archie, like in the Mafia in season 2, kind of touched on this insanity, Papa Boutine, for example. Mm-hmm. But so much of the rest of that struggle between, the power struggle between him and Hiram and how Veronica was involved, like that, there was no fun to that. That was just like, I don't even know if melodrama is the right word because melodrama can be fun too. But there was no fun to a lot of
Betty
that.
Betty and Jughead breaking up a zillion times was no
that
fun for
too.
Me.
Well, and that's another thing where it's like you have a show like this where you have these couples that the show's writers really know mm-hmm. that the people want to see, and whether they're endgame or not, like to continually breaking them up just is kind of looks cheap.
I think that writers feel like it's boring to write for a happy couple, but
sure.
I think it's also probably more challenging to make people that are just together interesting. Mm-hmm. So I think they've done a good job at making them seem invested in each other.
Yeah.
All that being said, poorly, they don't share shit with each other. So
that's true.
Story.
They've got to work through that. And I also think that whether or not they're like doing well as a couple, they have a lot to work through next season in the form of their like shared half brother who just turned back up on the scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, I assume he's going to have a sizable part within the next season. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know how much it's going to be
addressed.
Does
Jughead want a brother? I don't know.
I think it'd be
sweet.
I think
Betty does, but I don't know if Jughead is,
yeah.
like, cares.
Betty wants a brother, and now she realizes that Alice was kind of working for her the whole, mm-hmm. in her favor the whole time. But Betty really probably just wants a family member she can trust to not try and kill her.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's really get into the superlatives then. And this one is tough, but I mean, right off the top, I'm like, did you have like a favorite and least favorite episode of the season?
So here's the thing about that. Mm-hmm. The season is very long.
It sure is.
It like constantly makes me think, did the breaking up getting back together happen this season? Did it not happen this season? So I think my favorite episodes of the season are probably the same as yours.
Oh, sure.
Seeing
sure.
what yours are.
Yeah.
Just because.
Well, they're fresher
in memory.
You want
to say what yours are? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, I have to give a shout out to the musical episode. Big fun.
It's super fun.
Because it is big fun.
Oh, you know what? I do have a different one.
Oh, bring it in.
I don't know the name because I am unprepared, but it was the throwback episode I thought was
good.
Oh,
yeah. Midnight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it was, I definitely had issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were things where I'm like, why? What? But that's every episode of Riverdale. But I just thought it was fun. And I thought mm-hmm. it really did a good job of knowing that the viewers wanted that, but
for
like
sure.
going beyond that and then setting up sort of the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think, and we've definitely talked about it to some extent, but I think along those lines, the show can usually be really strong when you go into an episode and it's like, oh, this is the throwback episode. This is the musical episode. Mm-hmm. This is the heist episode. This is the noir episode. Like,
this
I think,
is like the vignettes episode, yeah.
Yeah, although the vignettes episode is a bad one this season, yeah. but
it was a bad one last season in my mind too,
but like that, usually the show can kind of knock that thing out of the park when they're going in with a certain general idea of what they're going for. That being said, I think really my favorite was the penultimate episode of the season, The Dark Secret of Harvest House,
which was really good.
It's just so fun and so many good surprises and the organs, mm-hmm. the organ farming,
and like, it really clipped that storyline along, which
yeah.
I personally like.
Well, it is funny that, yeah, we can have a whole season being like, what is the farm? Like, what's really going on here? And then instantly we figure it all out in one episode. I think that's kind of the show style.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes.
But it was, sorry, in the past, we've been like, the Black Hood is Betty's dad mm-hmm. since like the middle of the season. And like everyone knows.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone that's not like, but what if it's like saying something dumb?
Mm-hmm.
So, but this season, I really don't think we knew that. I really don't think we were ever like, it's organ harvesting.
Oh, it wasn't as obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Eventually, people started guessing that online, but maybe not until like they saw the preview for the week prior. And it's like, what's Betty doing in that weird medical room?
Yeah.
And
why
like,
does Kevin have a giant scar?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think they did a good job with that too. And I mean, for as much as like Penelope's plan ultimately tied into like stuff that was going on in season two with the Black Hood, it does make me think that there was more of a specific arc for this season, and they like mapped things out, and they're like, okay, we're gonna get really into I always want to say Guardians and Gargoyles, Griffins and Gargoyles,
Guardians of Galaxy.
Yeah, that was a big significant chunk of the first part of this season, and it does come back later on when it's convenient and it ties into things. Like I think that they made more of an effort to like make sure it all was mapped out and tied together
mm-hmm.
in a certain way. Here's an interesting superlative for you. Which character would you say was most improved?
Do you mean story? I mean, I guess you have to mean storyline-wise because it's character.
Yeah. Who showed growth? What story was exciting to you or did it?
Choni. Yeah.
Choni. Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, Choni was like not really, she was made a series regular
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or feature player, whatever the fuck her term is called this season. So, like, we still didn't really get a lot of character development from her because, like, we already knew about her Uktana background or whatever season. But, like, Cheryl went through kind of a development, and I really liked every time they were on screen. I was like, great, I love this.
True. Yeah.
So that was sort of being my most improved. Also, like, especially from season one, episode one, like, you see so much development in Cheryl.
I mean, yeah, she's changed so much. Like, I still think back fondly on the season one Cheryl that we knew, where she was kind of like the school's queen bee, but mm-hmm. like obviously I love what we've got now too.
Yeah, I think she's really good.
This like liberated like mm-hmm. woman just taking charge of her life.
I think she still has severe emotional problems.
For
but,
sure.
You know, but she's like,
she'll work through it.
She's running her own shit, man.
Uh-huh. Similar, I guess, to Choni for me. Like, honestly, I think my most improved was Reggie. And I know he doesn't like really get a lot of, he doesn't really have any plots outside of his own, like, connection to Cheryl, mm-hmm. or, I'm sorry, Veronica, and working at the speakeasy and stuff. But I did like the show letting him become something more than just, like, the jock bully kind of
mm-hmm.
guy that he was intended to be at the beginning, it feels like.
Did you get my text this weekend? That I saw original Reggie?
No.
At the Melrose trading post?
Did not get that somehow.
It's okay.
That is amazing.
And I was like, what's? I'm like, who? And I was like, oh, it's original Reggie.
Ross Butler.
Yeah.
But we love Charles Melton so much.
I prefer him.
I still didn't see The Sun is Also a Star, the like movie he was in, but I got to support him. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think the show really kind of let, obviously, in the fact that they put Reggie and Veronica together, but the show really let the character kind of evolve to his mm-hmm. strengths in a lot of ways. Yeah, agreed. Okay, kind of opposite of that. But let's talk biggest disappointment. It doesn't have to be a character or something, but what really let you down this season?
Beyond having to watch too much boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say that I missed Phallus.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that FP's character was really weak this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as just, like, he was just, like, a dumb sheriff that, like, couldn't get crime solved. And Alice, I think that was sort of like the vibe was that she had to just be in the farm and be kind of out of it.
Right, right.
But like, I just felt like that was wasting those actors.
Yeah, with Alice being like, she's essentially in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the farm. And then Gladys coming back, you would think that there'd be a lot more, we would put
literally anything
more front and center than we did. But he was just, I mean, he was busy. He had his hands full. He was training his junior cops.
I feel like they kind of just wasted those actors, but
yeah,
especially Skeet.
Well, speaking of wasted actors, my biggest disappointment should not be any surprise, but like they really, really, really did Kevin dirty here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, again, remember at the beginning of the season, there being talk of, well, a lot of different things, but just Kevin having more of a story and Kevin moving in with Josie was going to be a thing. And it's like, those were all of two lines throughout
Josie
the whole
season.
Josie definitely
got more of a storyline.
Josie did, which was nice. And I really started to like and like look forward to hearing from the character in a way that we hadn't before. But now she's got her own show to run off to, which is fine.
And Kevin did do a good job. Casey Cott did do a good job of delivering his like character's craziness.
Sure, for like, sure.
Getting the farm stuff. And I don't know. I just want them to involve him more. I think he's so good.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting. We talked about it before too, but it's like, where is Kevin mentally now that this farm that he was so sold on like left without him? Is he like still intent on finding them? Is he just this like wounded puppy, or is he like angry? Mm-hmm. Are he and Betty gonna actually be best friends again?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my feeling there. Speaking of characters, who is your favorite new character in season 3?
Well, Cameron, there's a lot of bad options.
There sure are.
Baby Teeth, Little Ricky, Lori Lake. Gosh, there really are some stinkers.
Marcus Mason, Moose's dad.
Yeah, Marcus Mason, Moose's dad. Unfortunately, Short Sleeve Doctor is from season 2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can't say him.
We miss him. R.I.P.
So I think I'm going to go, I mean, of course, not the... I'm going to let you have your pick
because
I probably agree with your
pick.
We
do agree, yeah.
But my strong second choice is Dr. Curdle Jr.
I think absolutely, and he mm-hmm. very much deserves a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
He, I mean, and I kind of put, we've talked about it before, but I put Miss Weiss, the social worker, in the same camp of things where it's like, why are they in so many episodes? Why are they back again? But like, no complaints. And I really like that it kind of feels like Curdle Jr. became an in-joke mm-hmm. to some extent. And he's creepy as hell.
Or maybe they just really liked him.
I think they probably did, too.
They're like, whoa, that guy killed it. We'll bring him back.
He just sits in the trailer in his, like, costume scrubs for hours on end waiting mm-hmm. for his call back.
And maybe he's like, pro, man. Maybe he shows up. He is early. He mm-hmm. delivers two takes out the door. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they're
who
like,
knows? Maybe
we gotta,
that guy's just great.
You're probably right. You're probably right. And, of course, if he's number two, I think number one is got to be Evelyn Everett Never. We already evoked season 1 Cheryl, and I think there's like an element of like the playful nemesis that she kind of was at school mm-hmm. before we like really realized that she's actually 26.
And also like, yeah, delusion,
yeah.
I was going to say. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Where she's just like in her own shit.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you like where she's at mentally and how she feels about pretending to be a high school student for so long, but I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not gone. I mean, we don't think so, so it's great. Hallelujah. Okay, we jumped from another favorite, but let's go to another least favorite moment. I wanted to know if you had what was your least favorite Archie moment from the season?
Again, I agree with you here, but the other one is like, I didn't like the whole prison shit.
You didn't?
Like the thing where he's like, I did it, I'm going to jail. Like that whole thing, and then you're just like, this isn't really going to play out. And then the whole bear mm-hmm. attack. I'm just not an Archie fan, but like every bit of his storyline is like, why is he fighting a bear now? Mm-hmm. Why is like, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot
I liked seeing Joaquin.
Well, right.
R.I.P. Joaquin.
Yeah, R.I.P. I mean, I liked what ended up happening in the prison, but I did forget about how he kind of like, despite what everyone tells him, tries to like be the hero and fall on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, it doesn't end up working out in anyone's favor. And I think he does that a lot. And that's what tied into like my least favorite moment, which is when he's like out of prison and he tells Veronica that they're breaking up because, like, he and Hiram can't both be in Riverdale together and he's got to skip town. So he has that big emotional goodbye, thinking he's, like, the bigger man. And then he goes and, like, immediately gets horny for Lori Lake at the farm.
That's what makes me... I know that... Yeah. That just makes me feel like
mm-hmm.
he's, like, a paper thin.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
He's pliable. He doesn't know what he wants for himself. And so he's just, like, whatever's right in front of him. Boxing? Oh, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Oh. It was football, then it was guitar,
yeah.
then it was this jalopy, then it was, yeah.
Right, and now it's going to be helping
underserved
kids.
Youths.
Yeah, which, I mean, good. But
yeah, not bad, but yeah.
Next moment I wanted to highlight for Superlative is funniest moment. Did you have a favorite funniest moment in the show?
That's a tough one. You go first.
Well, mine was, this was tough because I mentioned loving like the hacky sack in the mm-hmm. penultimate episode so much, but we've evoked the vignette 3 story episode before, and despite it being kind of rough, the Betty storyline in that episode was hilarious, and she's stuck in the stitches of Quiet Mercy, and we're getting her internal monologue. And her internal monologue is hysterical, like where she calls Ethel a psycho bitch. And mm-hmm. even when she's not in her head, the things she says in that episode are so funny. Because Ethel's kind of like talking about how Jughead's like her prince and he's meant for her. Mm-hmm. And Betty goes, oh, Ethelhead, like just so, so pissy. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. That for me is the highlight.
Yeah, I think that Shannon Purser, mm-hmm. Ethel, is always very funny.
She is. She's really good.
Delivers, and that would be one of my leanings is her. Mm-hmm. It's just like she always delivers funny lines. The other thing I would say is this ties into like Drag Race maybe, but I always like seeing people in ridiculous costumes just like running around or like doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. And so maybe that high school episode to me was kind of funny in that sense where it was like, oh, they're in dumb capes. I don't know. Or like anytime they have to dress up in silly costumes, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm a simple person.
No, that was fun. I mean, just the joy of seeing them play like mm-hmm. their parents.
It just seemed real.
The next one is, what was the biggest surprise or most shocking reveal for you this season?
I've said this before. I'm like a TV predictor. So, I'm like one of those people that's like, you start watching an episode of SVU. SVU telegraphs pretty severely, but I'm always like, it's that guy. Like, I know immediately. Or movies, same thing. So I didn't really have a ton of giant surprises. Mm. I mean, I guess it was like, it's always surprising to me when the show kills people off. Like Joaquin.
Like actually commits to it.
Or Hal. Yeah. Because the show has historically so severely not killed people. Mm-hmm. Like Tallboy.
Right.
They just kind of go away.
Yeah, and it's like, we'll see them again.
So to me, for the season, I would say that people actually died.
Yeah, Dilton, Ben. Ben jumping out the window is a good answer.
Our old pal. Three seasons of Ben.
Ben Button. What a guy.
Dilton, yeah. That guy never got his due. Mm-hmm.
Mine was definitely, as we've mentioned, the organs at the farm. Like the organ harvesting, even though it was like there were so many hints like right before it, just truly I did not expect that to be the case, and I love that we went there.
Mm-hmm. And then I see your last one here is the most exciting tease for season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So what's yours?
Mine is Undercover Alice and the FBI agent Cooper plotline, just like the whole idea of, you know, now that we know what Alice is up to when she's with the farm somewhere, is she going to be, like, working on the inside, or are we going to see her trying to, like, send secret messages back to her family?
I love it. I am interested, yeah, in how much of a jump we have between season 3 and 4.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. We don't really know.
Yeah, no. I mean, the scripts haven't been written, I guess. Mine is those are going to be seniors.
Yes.
Let's drive some plot. I don't know. I'm like a total dink, but I'm like, are you going to college or it's senior year? Like, it is like for teenagers, that's like a milestone.
No, it is baked in stakes that they're going to be graduating for sure. Like,
even
without
though
the
Archie's
fact,
already decided he's not going to
college.
That's
true, but you still got to think about next steps. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about some stuff that we've heard from our listeners since the finale year. So, yeah, we'll be right back. Hey, guys. Cameron here. When was the last time you had a breakfast that you felt good about? Mornings can be hectic, so I never really thought of breakfast as anything more than just another part of my daily routine. Of course, that's all changed now that I'm getting Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest is a service that delivers carefully sourced, chef-crafted smoothies, savory bowls, overnight oats, and more right to your door. Every Daily Harvest cup is packed with delicious organic fruits and vegetables, and they can all be prepared in 5 minutes max. That's before I even finish my cup of coffee. My favorite breakfast option is the ginger and green smoothie, which is so refreshing and really helps me focus in the morning. Daily Harvest is truly the easiest, most delicious way to load up on fruits and vegetables first thing in the morning, before bed, and any time in between. And because I'm a fan, I'm more than happy to pass a promo code on to our listeners so you can try it out for yourselves. Just go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DIALM to get 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code DIALM for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily-harvest.com. Catch you later, Bulldogs.
All All right, we are back, and it is time to hear from our listeners. We solicited a number of listener questions on Twitter, and so we have some good ones that we will answer.
Yeah.
I'll
read the first one we got from PotterFan92. They asked, do you think the show has reached its peak of crazy in season 3 and will ever be able to ground itself in season 4?
I personally don't care if it grounds itself.
Me neither.
I want it to be like Passions, basically, where it's just like insanity.
I think that's an interesting question. Like, has it reached its peak of crazy? I think there's almost no way it has. But
I think there are ways to do crazy that don't feel like pointless.
Sure, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's both grounded and crazy right now, which is a thing I like.
Yeah, it's we've gotten new highs of crazy this season, that's for sure. And I'm ready for it to be even more so in season 4. Like, I don't know. We've done cults and serial killers and mafia
bear
stuff.
Bear attacks.
Like, yeah, bear attacks. Like, let's get more of everything. Aliens? Could we get aliens?
I'm sure we could.
I mean, I'm still kind of waiting for us to go full zombie afterlife with Archie, as I've said. And there are those Archie comics, Archie versus Predator. So maybe killer aliens not beyond the realm of possibility.
No, we still need to figure out what happened with those like weird old people on the side of the road.
Oh my God, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Mysterious.
Question 2, speaking of mysterious, is from Christina Wendell. Just putting this out there, but I really hope we get to see more of Hot Dog in season 4. So the question is, where is Hot Dog?
I don't know. Haven't thought about him in so long.
He's got to be around. I think, like, isn't... I feel like maybe just, like, the servants pass him around.
Yeah, right?
Like, someone takes care of him.
But now that the Joneses have a home, he could be in the home.
They're never there.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, someone has to let out Hot Dog.
I just hope he's fine. We just want him to be okay. Vegas came back from Canada... And
Vegas
he's around.
Walked back from Canada.
Yeah. So hopefully, like, Vegas and Hot Dog are having their own adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for, like, the animated spinoff, like, Muppet Baby style thing, but just, like, with the dogs in the show. Would be great.
C. Bleeker asks, do you also miss the friends spending time together and doing high school things instead of running businesses or fighting cults? And they're like, yes, I miss season 1.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that is, like, I think definitely, like... We love the crazy stuff, but...
It makes it so it's hard. It's going to be hard to have stakes in leaving high school. Because, like,
it's barely
I have to go to college now, but I also have to run a business. Like, with something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, there was, like... Or Veronica Mars, there is, like, this... It's still sort of about being a teenager.
Yeah.
And that show doesn't really have that. The show doesn't really have that conceit.
School is only important when... When it serves the plot, like when they have to do a musical all of a sudden.
Or even like having teenage emotions.
Sure.
Is very rarely a situation that the show deals with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time we actually saw them in any sort of a class. I guess we saw them taking their tests earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in season 2, oh God, that was season 2. It doesn't actually even feel that long ago, but Cheryl was giving her a presentation on the history of Riverdale. Like, we actually saw someone doing a homework assignment, like a class assignment, which was wild. So yeah, I totally miss that. I mean, it's funny that we are kind of just barreling forward into senior year because, I mean, I don't necessarily know how they decide to keep everyone around after the fact, but if the show goes on and on, like, school is not going to be a factor at all anymore. And these kids already have jobs, like...
Yeah.
I do miss it. Yeah, that's a good question. We miss that kind of part of season 1, too.
I know that they've seen a lot, and it's probably hard for them to still be invested in being teenagers, but it does make it sort of hard to have a character have, like, emotional growth.
Totally. It definitely does. The last of the listener questions that we have on here is from Regina TV for Life. They said, I love the ending. It was shocking and insane. But best of all, it puts the core four in the same storyline, which is an interesting observation. They said, I'm super excited to see them interact more next season because Riverdale has been more plot-driven. Do you think this indicates more character-driven narrative next season?
I don't know that it does because, like, I think it depends on the writer's room.
Totally. But I agree, too, and it's not – I hadn't really thought of, like, that weird little spring break tease that we got, but – it is the four of them together. And, like, sure, they were a part of all of this season, and then they were all together in the last episode with Penelope's thing. But I would really like to see them together more, conversing more. I also think if, like, they're sharing plot lines more, then that shores up more time for Cheryl, for Kevin, for mm-hmm. for Melody and Val.
Yeah, your if they B storylines have to have someone else in them.
Yeah, the parents, that sort of thing.
Hot dog.
Like, I think that the show has obviously created an interesting supporting cast, and like the fans, of course, have shown that they really like a lot of these characters. So we should give them way more time than they're getting. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe now that Alice is basically like sold out, mm-hmm. FP can help.
True. That would be great.
Because Gladys is gone.
FP, come on. Yeah, he should work with the FBI. Help him track
local
down
law enforcement.
It'd be weird if the farm was still in Riverdale. But I don't
know.
They're
gone. They're probably in the next town over sure. or something, you know.
Maybe to save money on sets, they're like back at the like that the boxing ring that was like, oh, I guess that was in the prison in Seaside or something. Like some
yeah.
Yeah.
Some listener favorite moments. We also solicited some of those. Hannah Croft said she loved Kevin's shining solo moment during the Heather's musical episode and loved that he had something to work with. And she hopes we see much more in season 4. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. That was like, it was great to see Kevin sing because we know he's such a Broadway guy.
Yeah. Varchi 19, mm-hmm. this may surprise you, loved the Varchi makeup scene in episode 22. Loved that scene so much.
I included that one mainly, well, because I think we should shout that out because a lot of people did react to it. But I was like, oh, Varchi 19.
Yeah.
I know you're listening. Thanks for sharing your love for the Varchi scene. What a surprise.
I could get behind it. I think that sure. it just needs more, man. I don't know.
Totally. I mean, absolutely. The next one I have on here is from H_135TA, which is a handle. They said, a few episodes ago on Riverdale, Archie was attacked by a bear and he has clung to life. Oh,
as he clung to life,
he had to psychologically kill the old Archie so he could regain control of his consciousness. It reminded me of when I go through my Insta and archive old pics.
That's a very Cameron answer.
That's really, really good.
But also, yeah, like, he had to psychologically kill the old Archie, but like, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But now I have questions about the social media behavior. Did people go through and actually delete old Instagram posts of theirs that they're like, that was a different me?
Maybe if you post too much on Instagram.
That's true. You want to cut back. I don't know. I had a lot of questions about that, but then I thought that was a really funny read on like what Archie is doing in that episode.
The Natalia Diaz says, Ben falling from the window still has me shook. Mm-hmm. I'm still mad we didn't know anything about him, just his involvement with the game. Well, we knew that he slept with Miss Grundy. Mm-hmm. We knew that he worked at the movie theater.
Right.
With Chick.
He worked at the movie theater. He worked at the concession stand at the drive-in in season 1. Uh-huh. He, in another universe maybe, was a pizza delivery boy that traveled as far as Greendale for mm-hmm. Sabrina. And he died there. It is where we had mentioned Ben earlier in this recording, but it is funny to think like, oh, wow, that happened. And that was it for him. Mm-hmm. And it did, again, kind of tie together for season 2 because we saw him leave Chick's room. And it was like highly suspicious. And I guess it's because Chick was already on board with Penelope's plan.
Yeah. I thought, you know, the suggestion was that he was like an escort.
For sure. I mean,
or that,
right.
Like Chick was an escort. And so Ben was sleeping with him. And so Ben was, I guess, sexually fluid.
Yeah.
Is the other thing we know about him.
Yeah. That's all we know. But, you know, that's good. Good for him.
He likes to get down. Madeline Spark or Madeline Spark says, you might want to bring your own sheets. A lot of people had sex on that cot. Cheryl Bombshell.
Yeah, that was a good line.
I think this person probably likes Madeline Patch.
For sure. But like really funny line. And
it's a super funny line. Mm-hmm. And it's true and gross. High schoolers will have sex anywhere. And most of the time the places are gross.
And yeah. It also reminded me of just like a high point of the season was the episode where Kevin and Moose are hooking up in the cot in the bunker, but like simultaneously, like every couple on the show is hooking up and mm-hmm. the parents all get the threat. And so they're all calling and interrupting.
very real.
What a montage. Mm-hmm. So funny and very real too. Yeah. They're like, what? What do you want? Such a good scene. Next one on here, wanted to read was from Alex Joe and then a bunch of numbers. They said, everyone talks about the epic highs and lows of high school football, but no one mentions how that guy dropped out of school to sell drugs to support his Nana. And that's a great point.
Fair.
I think, like, even that episode, like, I just couldn't get over the fact that Archie said what he said. But, like, it does, it does let us forget then that the other prisoner, whose name I do not remember at all, mm-hmm. that was like maybe a reformed ghoulie or something.
I don't know.
Was just trying to support his Nana.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we learned from this
show,
it's...
So was Mad Dog.
Yeah, that's true. You got to support your Nana.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're Nana Rose or Nana whatever.
Well, no other Nana's them. On the show. Like, does Betty have a grandma?
Well, the one was evil.
The one was bad.
Yeah, but where's Alice's mom? Yeah. I mean, a former serpent.
Where's
Jughead's, I guess, right?
grandparents? Where's, like, anybody?
Yeah, right. Interesting question.
Last listener fave is from Vecchi Marlowe, Vecchi with a V.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 90s flashback episode is my favorite. The casting is so good, and they were totally believable as younger versions of the parents. I liked how they did the affectations of the adult actors.
Like, everyone really did knock it out of the park. It was a lot of fun to watch that. And I know, again, at the time, I was kind of like, that episode just didn't answer the questions I wanted it to, but, like, I was just being grumpy. Like, you can't deny...
We had high expectations for
sure.
It.
And you just can't deny how fun everybody was.
Yeah, it's fun.
The way that they picked up their mannerisms and made it kind of late 80s, early 90s.
Also, it helped, I think, that a lot of them had source material from the 90s to pull from.
Yeah.
Like Cole Sprouse could go watch Scream and be mm-hmm. like, I'm going to do my impression of Skeet Ulrich in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You could go watch 90210. You could go watch Twin Peaks.
Part of the joy of the show's parent casting is just that, yeah, they picked all these former stars, and it was great.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back with a very special guest.
Yeah, it's time for a special guest. Cool, we'll be right back.
Hey, ladies. Mara, I'm here to talk to you about Lola. So Lola is this new sort of direct delivery feminine hygiene company. You know, when you go to the drugstore and you go to buy a box of whatever, you can be getting a product that's made out of synthetic materials, that's made of God only knows what, and you're putting it into your body, literally. Lola is 100% organic cotton, no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetic, or dyes. The company is founded by women for women, and you can get pads, liners, and both BPA-free plastic applicator or environmentally non-applicator tampons. So you got the whole range of things. You can get a box mailed directly to you that has your pads and your tampons, or if you're more of a liners person, you can get that. You can also get cleansing wipes. So if you're feeling, you know, you're not so fresh, you want to pack one in your bag. They're gynecologist approved and hypoallergenic. And also, for every purchase you make, Lola donates feminine care products to homeless shelters in the U.S. I got a box in the mail, and, you know, without disclosing too much, I loved it. It's a great service. I love that it comes directly to my house. It's not one of those things where all of a sudden you're just like, crap. I need to run to the drugstore ASAP. You got it. It's sitting at your house. You know, if your cycle's pretty regular, you know when you're going to need them. And sometimes it's hard to just remember to get stuff. And then in this case, you got a 100% organic cotton, BPA-free situation. So I'm a big fan of Lola. I really like how convenient it is. And I'd love to pass it on to you guys. So for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Dial M when you subscribe. That's 40% off all subscriptions. You're going to visit mylola.com and enter Dial M when you subscribe. Let them know Mara sent you. Thanks, guys. All right, we are back with our very special guest, Cameron. Please introduce the mystery guest.
Hi, the mystery guest is none other than my own mother. Whoa, a rhyme, cool. Andrea, she goes by Andrea, but I just call her Mom. You guys can call her whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hi.
Mom, can you hear Mara and myself okay?
I can. You sound a little distant, but I can hear you.
Okay, good. Well, we'll make it work. We're excited to have you via the magic of technology. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing really good. I mean, all things considered. We're excited to be talking Riverdale and excited to bring you into the fold finally because you've just been a recurring theme. You know, I think I explained this to you, but you know that at one point in time, we were maybe going to have Chad Michael Murray, and you're our replacement for Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, so, boy. I'm so much better than Chad Michael Murray.
I know. I know you are. I mean, you show up when we need you, unlike Chad. So.
Ooh, sick burn.
Sick burn. So, we're excited to have you. I think, like, we've been doing, you know, this is our kind of, like, season 3 retrospective. We've been doing a couple superlatives And so to kind of kick things off, well, you know, before we get into those, you had mentioned that I always love to ask our guests, like, which character from Riverdale do you most relate to? I think that's a good way to for you to break the ice with our listeners. Like, which Riverdale character are you?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I don't feel like I'm like any of them. But I would I would say most like Mary Andrews.
Wow.
Okay,
sure.
Good.
Uh-huh. Maybe because she doesn't live close to her kids, but she's there for them when they need her. She's there to give her motherly advice, whether they like it or not.
Whether they want it or not.
Which, you know, I'm that way too.
Yeah, that's weird. That sounds familiar, huh?
Who do you think I'm most like?
I think Mary's a pretty good one for you. I mean, there's not a lot of other, not that you have to be one of the moms on the show, but a lot of the other moms are pretty crazy. And yeah. No matter what I say about you on the podcast, you aren't crazy, so.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little, just from time to time. I forget who I was telling just the other day, but I was having flashbacks to like me in high school when I wouldn't text you about where I was and then you would just like freak out and not be able to sleep because all you could picture was me in a ditch. And I don't think that's crazy, but yeah. That's just mom instinct.
Right. So Mary Andrews would be the same way.
Right. Mara will get there sooner or later.
Yeah,
she's already there a
little bit.
She'll
understand completely.
Already there, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till they start driving.
Yeah, I think Mary's a good one for you. But so that kind of makes me think we wanted to do, we've been doing some superlatives for this season, but I just had a few that I wanted to ask you about because we would appreciate your take. I wondered, one, I mean, these are a little more parent-centric, but who is the best Riverdale parent in your mind? Is it Mary? Is it someone else? Who's the best?
I would say Fred. Fred. Yes. How can you not love him? He's the best.
Yeah.
He doesn't drag his kid into danger ever.
Right.
So there is that.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's always like kind of just this thoughtful presence. Right. He's not FP putting his kid in the line of fire. He's not Alice like willingly mm-hmm. burning off her kid's like money to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fred's a good one. We miss him.
Yeah.
You, Luke, like, what's your, I forget, Luke Perry, you used to watch, didn't you watch 90210?
Oh, yeah. I never missed an episode. So I was always a Luke Perry fan. Always will be a Luke Perry fan.
Mara, I don't know if I, like, did you watch it too?
I was like in fifth grade or something.
Pretty young.
So
yeah.
I felt like I would get in trouble for watching it,
totally.
Even though I probably wouldn't have. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I definitely saw some of it, but the first season, like, I came in too late.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have, like, weirdly, what year did that run until? I just have memories of you. I just have memories of it for some reason, even if I don't actually know.
It's been a long time. Like, I think I was in college when it ended, maybe.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah. You were probably around, Cameron, but.
Was Luke,
too little.
You were just little.
Luke's vibe on that show, was that similar to Fred Andrews?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's chill. Yeah.
He walked away.
He left the show. Oh, I didn't realize that. Aw, well, we miss him. That's a good answer.
I miss him a lot.
Let's flip that on its head. Who's the worst Riverdale parent?
That's so hard because there's so many. Jeez, all of them. But I would say Penelope's pretty up there.
Yeah, fair.
To say the least.
Definitely not very loving and motherly. Howl is pretty bad too, but Penelope's my number one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, not only did she, I mean, this season she obviously tried to kill a bunch of high schoolers, but like I can't forget that last season she threw Cheryl into the basement of the Sisters of Quiet Mercy because she was afraid of her being gay. Yikes.
Yeah, bad, bad parent.
Bad. But she has a lot of fun. She makes for a good villain.
Yes, I love her on the show, but she's definitely not a good parent.
And then the last one I wanted to ask you about, last superlative, and I feel like I have an idea of where you land because of some tweets you've sent, Dial In for Maple, but who's the hottest dad on Riverdale?
Well, see, there's a couple, too. I would say definitely the hottest bod. The hottest dad bod is Hiram. My God.
Yeah.
Wow. Muscles. Jeez. But, I love FP.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's kind of hard to deny. I like that.
He's just there's just something bad boy sexy about him. But mm-hmm. yeah.
You listened to the ep where we played the birthday message Mara got from Skeet?
Yes.
Yeah, really special.
Yes.
I'll have to keep that in mind. I'll have to keep that in mind next time your birthday rolls around. We'll see. Mother's Day.
You got her Riverdale item for Mother's Day.
Yeah, the Mother's Day shirt. Obviously, we talked about that before. That was a big hit.
Which I absolutely loved. So, was such a big surprise.
Even though we're Skyping, I see you on the screen, and I was half expecting you to be wearing the shirt right now.
I just got home from work, so.
Oh, fair. You don't wear that to work? What?
Yeah, they probably don't like that at work.
I guess not. It's funny that you mentioned dad bod because, like, Mark Consuelos definitely brings a whole new meaning to the phrase dad bod. That's not the one.
It's not a true dad bod.
No.
That's a hot dad bod.
But the thing is, he actually is a dad in real life, which is crazy. I mean,
four
I guess
kids
like
or something crazy.
Yeah, he's dedicated.
Yeah,
three kids, four kids.
Three? I don't know how many they have.
Definitely at least three.
Well, I definitely wanted to run those by you, but we've also kind of just been talking about what our listeners wanted to. You know, we've like listener questions. We've addressed those. We've talked about some like of our listeners' favorite moments and. And you had initially responded to that tweet, that call to action too. And you mentioned definitely one of the best scenes of the whole show, I think. You said you loved Bughead's singing duet from the musical episode.
It just made me feel something. Just like, oh, you could tell they were connected.
But like, you mean in real life too? Yeah. Like the actors.
Yeah. So it just made me feel good. It was a feel good moment. I just smiled watching them sing and I loved it.
It was cute. It definitely was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I don't, do you follow them on social media? I know you've got social media, but I feel like it's mostly just to follow me.
Yeah, nobody else's is interesting.
I know, obviously.
I follow a couple, but no, I do not follow them.
Oh, okay. I just wondered if you've seen, I don't know, they just love to share photos of each other.
I should, because I would love seeing that. Because
Mara and I send those photos to each other over Instagram all the time. We're like, did you see this one? That's just like what we do.
I try and check now and like whether you've liked it already.
Oh, yeah. I do try and stay on top of things to see. Yeah, I'll have to keep an eye out, Mom, for whether or not you start liking the photos of various cast members. But I mean,
I'm going to have to do that.
I got sidetracked a little because I also want to ask you from that tweet about one of your other favorite details from the show. You mentioned a character who's been a point of contention for a while now, Dr. Curdle Jr.
He's just always been the creepiest person. I feel like there's got to be more to him than, you know, there's got to be something there.
Mara, do you agree with that? Do you think there's something more?
I think they'll use him more next season because they like him.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he was such a point of... But, Mom, you know, anytime you would bring that up, you'd be like, I just don't trust him. I'd be like, I just honestly think he's a weirdo. Like, I don't think there's any reason to not, but...
Yeah.
You're probably
right.
They're
gonna believe me, like, but I want it to be right because I want to be right so bad.
Of course.
He's... I don't know. Why is he there and so bizarre?
Riverdale's a weird town and weird stuff happens there. Yeah, what did happen to his dad? We really don't know that at all.
Right, but he's just shady. I mean, they pay him and, like, you know, I don't know. There's something going on there.
I think there's probably just a general rule that the longer someone sticks around on the show, the more likely it is that they've been up to some shenanigans the whole time is probably the case.
But so, like Svensson, he wasn't on that long and... He wasn't the bad guy, but they used
him. Svensson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like an example of like the show pretty immediately being like, here's somebody new that we're only introducing to you because we need them for this specific reason. Whereas Curdle is like, okay, what are we using him for beyond like dispensing information?
I will be so happy when there is.
Yeah. Well, I feel like now that would leads me into just generally like, do you have any other big thoughts or about the season three as a whole and where it ended or like theories on where things could go next season? Like what's up? What's going on? What's in your speculation booth?
Well, I still think, and I think I mentioned to you, Mad Dog, why was Mad Dog in prison?
Right. We don't know. That's a good question.
He was obviously in prison for a reason. And is he going to come into the picture more than just, you know, helping Archie run the gym? I don't know. You're not in prison for no reason.
Right. Right. I mean, I think because he's brought up his family so much, I just take it as like a sort of like something for the greater good where he stole some food or something just so his family could eat. That's what I always wrote it off as. But yeah, I mean,
would you be in prison for just stealing food?
I guess not. But
well,
he obviously,
in Riverdale maybe, but
yeah. And he obviously got caught up in the warden's like weird shit. I don't know. It's like, it is the type of thing where, you know, if the show doesn't come out and explicitly say something, then it's probably left open-ended for a reason, because they can always go back and be like, it was this the whole time and we just didn't tell you.
Right. Exactly. So there's something. Yeah. And I really don't want, and I know you shot, but I don't want Hal to be dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. No, I don't want him to be.
I think he is. I know. I like that you kind of, I mean, we all really kind of came around on like him as a character, and just like Lachlan Monroe. I feel like the first season or especially, he was like a non-entity. In season two, before we knew he was the Black Hood, he was just kind of like, I mean, you know, shove it, Hal. That it all comes down to that moment, really.
Right.
We miss him. We're going to miss him, I think. They could find ways to bring him back. There could be more flashbacks.
He could have an evil twin like Clifford Blossom.
That's true. I think, like, we can never rule out the evil twin theory for anybody on the show.
Oh, that's true. And flashbacks, definitely. I mean, I love the parents' flashback, and they could do more of that. That would make me happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. I wouldn't be surprised if we get another flashback episode, just in the same way that we got another musical episode after the first season, because it's like people really, really liked it, and there's always more stories to tell.
Yes, they definitely need another musical episode, too.
I don't see how they couldn't.
Oh, totally.
Right.
I forget what it was. I was just the other day, as I was like thinking about what we're going to talk about this episode, some random weird internet publication was like things to expect in season four of Riverdale. And it didn't have any like new or interesting thoughts or theories. It was just like, remember how there was that flash forward scene? We'll probably hear something about what happened to Jughead. And it was like, yeah, duh, we watched the episode too.
I think that's so much of the internet though.
I mean, that is the internet.
Where it's like, yeah, Here's what we know about season five of, you know, blankety blank.
Mm-hmm. Gotta make content somehow.
And we need more Nana Rose.
More Nana Rose. I mean, that's why we brought you here, because we knew you agreed with us and we just wanted to hear it echoed back to us that...
Yes. More Nana Rose, please.
Like, maybe she's the caretaker for Juniper and Dagwood now while Polly is away and the twins are out.
I don't know how she can barely care for herself.
That's a good point.
Exactly.
But I would love that. We just see her rolling around in a wheelchair with a twin in each arm and she's just like...
Two, like, wiggly 18-month-old twins. Good luck.
Yeah, wait. How old are those twins now?
Almost a year.
Yeah, they're almost a year. Like
they're
your
over
kids.
A year.
Hmm. Interesting. More Nana Rose, more Curdle Jr. Figure out what happened to Mad Dog. Anything else? I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we're excited.
I have a question.
Oh, Mara's got one.
How have you tried to convince any more... adults of your peers to watch Riverdale?
That's a great question.
Well, I always talk about it at work, and they're probably tired of listening to me talk about it. Not only do I talk about the episode, but then I sit there at lunch when I can listen to you guys on there, I talk about that too. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, they mentioned me.
I know, you're famous.
That's cute. Listen. And anybody I know, even at the gym, I'll be like, hey, my son does this podcast, so you should listen if you watch the show.
Oh,
so,
God,
yeah, I'm always...
Thanks.
I'm the biggest cheerleader.
Thanks for the promo. You are.
She should start carrying... Do you have Cameron's cards?
Oh, yeah. Do you have business cards of mine?
No, I should
hand those out. Yeah.
I know.
I don't know who you're going to meet in Cuyahoga Falls that
headshots.
Can... Yeah, that's true. I could use some headshots again. That'd be helpful. Yeah, put it out there.
Yeah.
Well,
I have something too.
Oh.
So in high school, Cameron was voted best hair and friendliest.
Yeah,
so
I did.
Who
get...
do you guys think
that checks out?
And Riverdale has the best hair and is the friendliest.
Mm.
Best hair. That's tough because My immediate thing is like Cole.
Oh yeah.
But like that's not his real hair color.
For sure.
So maybe I'm gonna go with Alice.
I do like, yeah. It always looks nice.
Yeah.
It's like the right kind of like colored and layered and that sort of thing.
And it's like big and bouncy.
I mean, and I'm maybe I would go with Betty when she like does get to let her hair down. We've talked about how it always looks great.
Mm-hmm. And friendliest. Evelyn.
Oh my God, Evelyn.
Oh.
Evelyn's absolutely the friendliest. She's a gem.
She might have background to it, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. It's a little nefarious, the context, but she is very friendly. She just wants people to join her club.
Yeah, true.
Oh, wow. Now everyone knows my secrets, my superlatives.
That's why I had to put it out there.
Wow. Thanks. Where are your book? You have our yearbook.
I do.
Yeah. There's photos of it somewhere.
I would love to show it because your hair was gigantic then.
Yeah, you might have to send us some photos so we can share. But I did have gigantic hair. That's very true.
Ay, ay,
ay. What a time. Well, I think that's all we got for you right now. But I'm so glad we could finally have you on. I think, like, I don't know. If we keep doing this, maybe we'll have to bring you into the regular rotation.
I know. It would be fun. You
get your own segment. Mom's Corner.
Especially if Curdle Jr., Is that true? Then I'm coming back on.
Because that'll be like
in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. In my face, of course. I will definitely, we can say that. If we find out that Curdle Jr. has been up to no good, we'll let you come back on the podcast and throw it in my face because I was wrong.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we'll let you go, but thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.
Say bye bye, Bulldogs. That's the phrase.
Bye bye, Bulldogs.
Okay. Bye. I'm going to hang up. Bye. Oh, bye-bye Bulldogs indeed, but we have to take one quick break before we wrap it up for the season, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Mara and Cameron here, and we are going to talk to you about Care Of.
Heard of it?
Heard of it? You may have heard of it on this very podcast.
Sure have.
Care Of is direct mail to you vitamins and supplements, and it is a lifesaver.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's like finally summer. I guess depending on what part of the country you live in LA, it's always summer. But it's like, you know, this is the time when you want to be like active and out. So I think this is like a good way. Care Of is like kind of a good way to give you the support you need this season. Like if you're outside, it gives you more energy. You can get better sleep.
If you're having a long weekend.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Mars.
A long summer weekend can really help you get back on Monday.
Yeah, and then when you are back on Monday, it can help you maintain stress. There's all sorts of options. Now, all sorts of options. How do we know what is good for us?
That is because you are going to take Care Of's fun online quiz, which asks you about your diet, health goals, lifestyle choices. It takes about 5 minutes. It's kind of like a BuzzFeed quiz. It helps you find out your personal sort of scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. So it's like, how much sleep are you getting? Are you looking for more energy? Do you need something to support weight management? Are you going to the bathroom okay? How's your skin? Stuff like that. And it picks out what you need.
Yeah, and depending on your personalized Care Of plan, you'll get daily vitamin packs and or protein powder sent right to your door. And it comes in this cute little customized box. You basically have this box and you pull one out a day and your name's on it. And there's these little phrases on there that make you feel good. I mean, it doesn't really get any easier.
You slipped them in your pocket.
I sure did. Yeah, I'd show up sometimes and open up a package just to like show off and be like, I got my vitamins in. And you can change it at any time, which is great too. So it's like a super easy thing to sign up for. And it's fun to sign up for. And then it's like you can kind of adjust as you go along and you try out some new vitamins that maybe you didn't know you need.
I don't know. I think we both really liked it. We thought the quiz was easy. I still have Care Of vitamins at my house. I've been taking them.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling, feeling good.
It really was like the easiest thing to remember. And it's like just part of my life that it's like the thing you didn't know you needed, that sort of thing. It's like, oh yeah, these vitamins.
I took, you know, you take the quiz, you answer the questions. You're like, oh, I guess that could be better. And then you start taking the vitamins or the supplements and you're like, wait a minute, that isn't a problem anymore. You know, like whatever the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why.
And well,
and Care Of is why.
Yeah, of course. You love it. I love it. We love it. And you're going to love it too, we'll say.
Yeah. So if you haven't tried it, you can get 25% off your first Care Of order by going to takecareof.com and entering code DIALM.
Yeah.
So for 25% off your first Care Of order, you go to takecareof.com and enter code DIALM, all one word.
Yeah, do it. Get vitamined and we'll catch you later.
All right, we are back to do the blue and gold.
Yeah, one last blue and gold.
Which is where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments from the cast, the fans, and beyond. So we're kind of doing some sort of season wrap-up stuff here. Mm-hmm. Cameron, you know, the cast is all off.
They are.
Riverdale conventions in Paris and filming movies about being strippers. what is some of your favorite off-season content?
Wait, filming movies being strippers, but also filming movies being like mega million super pop star, church pop stars, or whatever the heck.
The teaser for that? Jeremy, I'm like, Camp. Did you just film that like last week?
I think they did. It feels like they are filming it right
now.
It's
like now. 2020 is what's coming out.
Yeah, we're of course talking about KJ playing, I think, Jeremy Camp in the upcoming faith-based film. I can only imagine, I think, is what it's called.
Something like that, yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, without the show being on, really trying to find alternatives to fill that Riverdale-shaped hole in my heart in the off-season. And wouldn't you know, Casey Cott is delivering. I shared this on Instagram, or I'm sorry, on Twitter, but just last week, he posted a story on his Instagram where it's a screenshot of him trying to call Cole and not getting a response. And he had Casey had the sad face. It's just a bunch of screenshots on his Instagram story.
Of trying to call different people.
Yeah. And then it became a thing where he's calling a bunch of people. And it's really funny to be like, Lily didn't pick up, KJ didn't pick up, blah, blah, blah. And then what do you know? Who should pick up? None other than Skeet Ulrich himself.
Yeah.
And that when you're quickly tapping through those photos, it is like such a joy to see Skeet's smiling face on there. It was so cute. And then Madeline seems like she eventually picked up too, which is very nice. But just what a moment.
Yeah, it was really cute.
I also on here wanted to call out the weirdly since deleted Instagram.
Why was it deleted? This was going to be mine.
Oh, yeah. Well, so what was it? What are we talking about?
Cole Sprouse posted a photo. He's like, here are some animals I met this year. Or here are some friends I made this year.
And it was all...
It was just him holding like baby goats or like little puppies tucked into his jacket or whatever. And it was
really
so
cute. A lot of, like, all different, I think, but a lot of, like, bulldogs and pugs and scrunchy-faced dogs, which are always my favorite to see.
Me too.
And Lily had commented on it, and she was like, well, I was looking for a photo of me, but okay, which was funny. But I really don't know why he would have deleted it unless...
Unless someone was like, hey, that's my dog, don't use their photo.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think, we were talking about earlier in the episode, is people go through and delete Instagram posts. Maybe it just didn't fit with the rest. I mean, it doesn't fit with the rest of his Instagram's aesthetic, which is like highly artsy styled photos.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm sure some fun fan archived it.
That's absolutely true.
It's findable.
That's why Riverdale fans are the best, because they are quick to screenshot everything.
I would also note that we've been talking recently about how Cole seems to have stripped the black dye out of his hair. So if you see like a guy that's like walking around that looks like Cole, but he's blonde, it's Cole.
It's actually Cole.
Or
just don't forget.
If he has a blue buzz, it's Dylan Sprouse. Mm-hmm. An unfortunate blue haircut.
Right. That was a wild photo you sent me from Hart Denton's Instagram. Yeah. Maybe that's the best part about off season is that for the most part, I think a lot of them are back in the LA area. So I'm going to post up a veggie grill until I see Madeline.
Yeah, right. Hang out at like Gelson's in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Erewhon by the Grove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Netflix, where you saw Cole the first
time.
That's
true. I'll just hang at Netflix. They'll let me hang in the lobby, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what I'll do. That's how I'm going to spend my summer vacation. I also obviously, like, again, want to mention, like, don't forget to follow us. Like, we probably won't be posting as much in the off season, but as like things happen and updates come in about season 4, like as they're writing it, we'll probably share that. But I also wanted to mention, don't forget to follow the account No Context Riverdale, because this is like a really, really funny account, and like it just is a great reminder of how insane the show can be when you take some of these like lines out of context, and just it's like, I don't know, they just do a really good job of curating all that stuff, and it's inspired me to make lots of meme jokes with, so
Mm-hmm.
That's a reason enough to follow both our account and their account.
Have you met them yet? Have you figured out who they are?
No, but I feel like we've like chatted just a little bit online. Maybe we should reach out. Oh, and also stay tuned. I think we might try and do a little guest stint on another podcast here or there. So stay tuned for updates on that. I don't know. We'll try and we're definitely going to stay busy.
We have summer book club. Sure. We can do that.
We could try and do it. Yeah, we could try and do another book club because we do have that too.
We have the Sabrina book and mm-hmm. Riverdale book.
And you better believe I'm not giving up on Chad Michael Murray or Nana Rose for that matter.
God willing.
So stay tuned.
And thanks you guys so much for listening to us for all of season three. And as always, like if you have friends that are watching on Netflix now, which I know a lot of our friends are even, just blasting through it, tell them to listen to the PCast.
Yeah, of course. Like revisit, listen along with us. Mm-hmm. You'll watch an episode on there and want to dive right into the next one. But it's always good to give yourself some space to mentally process the insanity that you just saw.
All right. Thanks for listening. Season three. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Rill Causey. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, you can tell your friends. They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter at @DialMFromApel. I'm at Mara E on Twitter, MARAHE. You're at Cameron Sheets, SCHEETZ.
Mm-hmm. Find me.
And we hope that you guys will hear from us again soon. Mm-hmm. We know you will.
You
will. Enjoy your summer.
Enjoy your summer and bye-bye, Bulldogs.